Welcome in Ryan Porth in for Darren and Donick for the next little bit as they attend morning skate duties down in Dallas before game six tonight at American Airlines Center as the Preds look to stave off elimination. They are down 3-2 in this first round series against the Dallas Stars. Pre-game at 6:30, puck drop at 7:30. All the action heard right here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll have a special Preds Extra with Chase McCabe live from Dallas starting at 6 o'clock tonight right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And I know a lot of you want to call in and weigh in on this Preds team and where they stand going into Game 6 as they do trail this series 3-2 after another frustrating loss Saturday afternoon in Game 5 here in Smashville. 615-737-1025 if you want to call in and join the conversation as it pertains to the Nashville Predators. And for me, there have been two stunning parts of this series thus far. One is the play of the Predators stars. I tweeted this out on Saturday that it is hard to comprehend just how poorly some of the Predators stars who this team has, they have counted on all season long, all regular season long, just how poorly and uncharacteristic they're playing in this first round against the Dallas Stars. You look at Philip Forsberg. I said Saturday in Preds Extra after the game with Jeremy K. Gover that I thought that was one of Philip Forsberg's worst performances in a Preds uniform. He had some bad turnovers. One of them led to a goal. He took a bad penalty early in the first period, something that this team needs to stop doing if they want to get back in this series tonight and force a game seven. He does not look like one of those veteran forwards out there that is supposed to carry this team. You look at Victor Arvidsson, his line mate. Victor Arvidsson has been almost non-existent offensively for this team. There have been very few times where you have noticed him in this series. The Dallas Stars are doing a very good job, not only against Victor Arvidsson, but Philip Forsberg as well, in slowing down that Jofa line. They're not generating much, whether it's 5-on-5 or the power play. Jim Montgomery and his staff and the defensemen of that group, they're playing really well with the Jofa line on the ice. Whether they have the last change with the matchups or not, they are really shutting down the Jofa line and how effective they are. Then you look defensively. You look at a guy like Mattias Ekholm. I don't know what player is wearing the number 14 jersey right now, but it's not Mattias Ekholm. Mattias Ekholm in this series so far has been very uncharacteristic. Mattias Ekholm over the last, I don't know, 3-4 years has been as steady of a defenseman as this Nashville Predators team has had. And in this series, Ekholm has been taking bad penalties. He's been pinching when he should be staying back. He's been committing turnovers that have ended up in the back of his own net. Mattias Ekholm does not look like the Mattias Ekholm we have all grown up and watched over the last few years. And then you look at Ryan Ellis, which Ryan Ellis, I thought, kind of in the same category as Philip Forsberg, I thought Ryan Ellis had one of his worst games Saturday that we've ever seen out of him in a Preds uniform. The play that led to the Stars' third goal of the day, with the Preds trailing 2-1 midway through the second period, Ryan Ellis and Jamie Benn going for a loose puck behind the Preds net, and Ryan Ellis stopped moving his legs. He just coasted towards the goal line, and it's almost like Jamie Benn just looked at him and said, okay, this is going to be my puck, and he just shoved Ryan Ellis out of the way and into the end boards. Jamie Benn gets the puck, passes it out to Alex Radulov, and Radulov capitalizes for his second goal in the period. Ryan Ellis hasn't been playing well. The stars of this Preds team that have done a lot of the heavy lifting throughout the regular season have not been doing a whole lot of heavy lifting in this postseason. The number two thing for me that has been really stunning in this series out of this Preds team is that they're not playing with poise. They're taking bad penalties. Like I mentioned with Philip Forsberg and Mattias Ekholm, just overall, this team is taking bad penalties. They've been undisciplined. The Stars lead this series in power play opportunities 21-11. through five games, the Stars have 10 more power play opportunities than the Nashville Predators. 10 through five games. If you do the math, the Stars are getting two more power plays per game. You have to play a lot more discipline, and it has to be tonight. Because if you don't, and the Stars convert on the power play once again, you may be going home tonight. They are coming home tomorrow after tonight's game, but they may not be coming home to play a game Wednesday night if they cannot stay disciplined tonight in Game 6. And a part of playing with poise or not playing with poise in the Preds' point of view, the turnovers. They've been committing a lot of turnovers and not being smart with the puck. Also, when something goes wrong for this team, they haven't really reacted well. When something goes wrong for the Stars, they have reacted well. When the Preds hit them in the mouth with an uppercut in the first period of Game 1, Dallas acted like the more experienced, more poised team in periods 2 and 3 of Game 1. When the Preds took a 2-0 lead in Game 3, the entire vantage point of the game changed as Dallas played like the more experienced, the more poised team. They got back in that game 2-2, and I would contend the Preds got lucky to get out of there of Game 3 with a win because of Pekka and because Ben Bishop let in a soft goal from Mikael Granlund. When the Preds gave them opportunities on a platter in the first period of Game 4, the Stars capitalized. When the Preds hit them with another right to the chin in the first 10 minutes of Game 5 Saturday, where the Preds looked really, really good, Dallas hit them with a knockout blow that made the Preds wobble a little bit, and they couldn't recover for the rest of that game. So the poise between these two teams, where you're coming into the series thinking the Preds have a decisive advantage with just total experience as a team, with everything that they've experienced in the postseason, the Stars look like the team that has been racking up all that playoff experience in the last 5 years, where the Preds, they haven't been playing with a whole lot of poise. And that, to me, has been pretty stunning. 615-737-1025 if you want to jump in and weigh in on this Preds team as they face elimination in Game 6 tonight against the Dallas Stars. Let's go to Jose in Nashville. Jose, welcome in.
Hey, yeah, thanks, man. I really concur with a lot of the things that you've been mentioning here, and I kind of look at this team and compare it to the 2017 team, and that team just seems so much hungrier than this team, and I just can't understand how PK can say, you know, if we play great defense, nobody's going to beat us. But where is that defense? I mean, no one's picking up people who are flying in to grab passes from these forwards and having these grade A chances. Got to get back on this defense and mm-hmm. just think, okay, we have got to pick up these guys. There's nobody's turning their heads.
Yeah, there's a lot of missed assignments out there, Jose. Thank you for the call. There's a lot of missed assignments. You and Philip Forsberg is a player that I mentioned earlier in this segment in relation to Game 5. I don't know what Philip Forsberg was doing on the Stars' fourth goal that they scored Saturday afternoon. Philip Forsberg looked to be a little bit in la-la land as Tyler Seguin blows right past him, wide open, right in front of Pekka, and he cashes in on a one-timer to make it 4-2. After you had just grabbed some momentum back to make it 3-2, all that was gone in a flash as Tyler Seguin made it 4-2. That was a lost coverage. Lost coverage on the Stars' first goal. Cali Yarncroke couldn't stay with Jason Dickinson. I mean, this team is making so many uncharacteristic plays that you would expect a lot more out of, especially in the defensive zone. Now, the defensive zone coverage all season long has not been what it should be. And really, if you go back to last regular season, you can point to some games and some moments, especially in the playoffs last year, where that defensive zone coverage wasn't what it should be, what you would expect it to be out of a talented group like this. However, with everything that I just laid out there, this series is not over. The cliche in the Stanley Cup playoffs is that the fourth win in a playoff series is the hardest to get. This series is not over, and I will tell you why coming up next on Darren and Donick. Ryan Porth in for Darren and Willie. From the wholesale, live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios, This is Darren Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
There's a lot of things that happen that, you know, we're not sure of, but one thing for sure is we know how to win, and we know how to win in the playoffs, but we got to do it. And I think there's been enough talk, you know, we just have to go out and execute. And it's little things, you know, it's the attention to details in our D zones, off face-offs, you know, breaking out, getting pucks out of our zone, into their zone. That, you know, you got to give them credit. They're doing those things really well right now. And we got to do those things better if we want to have success.
That was PK Subban following Game 5 on Saturday, saying they just need to go out and execute, especially the little things. And if they can do that, they may be hosting a Game 7 Wednesday night between the Preds and the Stars at Bridgestone Arena. Tonight is Game 6, pregame at 6:30, puck drop at 7:30 from American Airlines Center down in Dallas. All the coverage heard on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe will have Preds Extra starting at 6. Ryan Porth in for Darren and Willie as they tend to morning skate duties down in Dallas. 615-737-1025 if you want to jump in and weigh in on this Preds team as they go into a loser-go-home Game 6 tonight in Dallas. And I said this before the break, and I'll say it again. This series by no means is over. It might feel like it after what we've seen in Games 4 and 5, losing 5-1 in Game 4, losing 5-3 in Game 5, but this series is not over. One reason for me is sometimes when you expect one thing out of this Predators team, they do the complete opposite. A lot of people expect the Preds to lose this game tonight. A lot of fans are down on this team in a time where they need to be, you know, you don't have to be all sorts of confident after games 4 and 5, but, I mean, there is a dose of needing to believe in this team. Especially if they win tonight, they come home for a game 7 where you want to exercise some of those game 7 demons from last year and win a Game 7 on home ice. I'm not going to count out the Preds from responding with a great effort tonight and forcing a Game 7. Now, whether they win or not, I have no idea. I would expect the Preds to bounce back with a good effort tonight. Whether that's enough, we will see. Using another playoff series as an example as well, people counted out the San Jose Sharks against Vegas. Vegas took a 3-1 lead in that series after winning 3 straight games by a combined score of 16-6 in those 3 games. You think Sharks fans felt good after that? You think the Sharks locker room felt good after that? What did the Sharks do? They responded with a good win in Game 5. They survived double overtime last night in Vegas to force a Game 7 tomorrow night in the Shark Tank. A lot of people counted out San Jose, including myself. I'm not going to count out the Nashville Predators. As puzzling as they've looked in these last couple games, that doesn't mean they can't look themselves in the mirror and dig down deep and find a way to win tonight and keep their season alive. But a lot has to happen between games 5 and 6 for that to happen. The D-zone coverage needs to improve. They cannot let the Ben Sagan-Radulov line have their way again tonight. If they do, you're probably not going to like the result, to quote head coach Peter Laviolette. They need to do the little things and the attention to detail that PK Subban was talking about in that clip to start this segment. And you don't just have to look at the X's and O's in terms of this Preds team trying to get back in the series with a win tonight and forcing a Game 7. You kind of have to look between the ears with this team. Right now, they don't look like a confident group. Dallas, they look confident, all right. The Stars are playing with a lot of poise. You're not. The Stars are playing with discipline. You're not. The Stars are executing at a high level within their coach's system. The Preds are not. So a lot has to change with the way this Preds team is changing in the 48 hours from Saturday afternoon until 7:30 for puck drop tonight. If a lot changes, I can absolutely see the Preds going into Dallas and putting a damper on what a lot of Stars fans feel is going to be a party tonight and bringing this bad boy back to Nashville for a Game 7 Wednesday night. Let's go to the phone, 615-737-1025, if you want to jump in and weigh in on the Preds and tonight's Game 6. Let's go to John in the borough, who has been waiting patiently. John, welcome in.
Hey, Ryan. You know, agree with everything you're saying. And it's not a lack of hope, but one of the things that has bothered me about the Preds all year, and we've seen this across all sports, you have those guys who are so good that very seldom are they pressed. Then when they're pressed, because they haven't been called upon to do it all year long, suddenly they can't turn it on as well. That Forsberg move last night you were talking about earlier, I kind of looked at it that Forsberg, you know, just assumed, I'm fast, I'm a good skid, I'll get to this guy. And it appeared that he was, you know, moving in slow motion. Ryan did the same thing against the board. They've just almost had such an easy ride. And it's never an easy ride when you're playing 82 games. But they haven't had to really do it. They've had spurts of it, but they haven't had to consistently be tough, skate hard, do all those things all the time. And now you're in the playoffs. Every line, every skate should be considered do or die. There's no, you know, nothing to hold back now. You've only got so many rounds, so many minutes to play. You got to just do everything you can to do it. And I think that's where we're at right now. I'm confident. I think they could win tonight. And I, you know, if they do those things, and then if we bring it back home, then I'll make a prediction right now. I think we win game 7 if we bring it home. So I appreciate all your writing, too, the blog and everything. You're doing a good job. Take care, Ryan. I'll talk to you.
Thank you for the call, John. Appreciate it. Yeah, to kind of piggyback off what John said there is, for a lot of this series, it doesn't feel like the Preds are attacking the game. They're almost letting the game come to them. And when the Preds are at their best, they're playing with speed and they're playing with attitude, the self-described identity from head coach Peter Laviolette. They are when they are playing their best, they are attacking the game. You think back to the first periods of Game 1 and Game 5, they attacked the game, and they took an early lead in both games. The problem is they weren't able to sustain that attack, and then when the Stars started attacking, the Stars were the ones pushing the pace and putting the Preds on their heels, and the Preds couldn't have a response to that. And then the Stars ended up scoring three unanswered goals in Game 1 to take a 3-1 lead, and then the Preds made it 3-2, made it interesting, but couldn't tie the game. When the tides turned in Game 5 in Dallas's direction, the Preds didn't really have a response. I mean, yeah, they did score to make it 3-2, but the Stars, they were down 1-0, then they tied it at 1. Then they took a 2-1 lead, then a 3-1 lead, and Ryan Johansson made it 3-2, but then just a couple minutes later, Tyler Seguin makes it 4-2. And at that point, you're thinking, it's just not in the cards for the Preds today. Too many mental mistakes out on the ice, whether it be penalties, whether it be lost coverages. All those mental mistakes have to go away tonight. Not to say that they have to play an absolute perfect game, but if you want to get out of American Airlines Center with a pulse left for this season, you have to be the smarter team. You have to be the more poised team. Going back to what I mentioned last segment about how this Stars team, they look like the team with poise. They look like the team with experience, where it should be the Predators having the poise and the experience. Let's go to Bob in Antioch. Bob has been waiting patiently. Bob, welcome in to Darren and Donick.
Thank you. I'm trying to be optimistic. For one thing, I've seen the Predators win Game 6 before when their previous game didn't give any hope that they would come off the mat. So that's one reason I'm optimistic. And I want to ask you guys, since you follow the team obviously very, very, very closely, I'm looking for reasons to be optimistic. So what is there about how they've played in certain portions of these games? What is it that should give fans some gleam of optimism, because I really want to try to be optimistic. I agree with the previous caller that if we can somehow force Game 7, I like our chances. So what have you seen in stretches that might be cause for optimism?
Thanks for the call, Bob. I'm going to be honest. There hasn't been much in terms of what we've seen in this series through 5 games that gives me a whole lot of confidence that they're going to win Game 6. Now, some things can change, and they can go out and win tonight and force a Game 7. The number one thing for me, I would say, is Pekka Rinne. Pekka Rinne has been left out to dry really these last three games. Game three, he had to stand on his head. He made 40 saves, and they won game three to take a 2-1 series lead. The problem is they didn't improve the play in front of Pecorine in games four and five. And eventually, when you give the Stars the bulk of all those high-danger chances and opportunities, especially on the power play, I mean, a goaltender can only stand in there for so long making every single save imaginable, just like he did in Game 3. So if Pecorine continues to play at a high level in Game 6 tonight, then that is the best chance that you have in this game, is that Pecorine can maybe channel some of his inner Game 3 and help you maybe not steal the game, but give you an opportunity to win the game. I mean, the Preds in Game 5 were blowing coverages in front of him left and right. Could he have made a save or two? Probably. But, I mean, you can only do so much when you're having to sit on your keister and make three consecutive saves on a 2-on-0 when there's a turnover in your own zone and you've got Ben and Radulov barreling down on you. So I would say the play of Pecorine, the stats, his stats through five games look atrocious. He has not been nearly as bad as those stats may suggest. So the play of Pecorine, I think, gives you some hope. Here's another thing that gives you hope. Johnny tweets in this stat. Johnny says, the Preds have won three of their last four game sixes where their playoff lives were on the line, down 3-2. Wins in 2016 in both the first round and second round, down 3-2 against the Anaheim Ducks, against the San Jose Sharks. Both of those were on home ice. You were trailing 3-2, and you forced a Game 7 in both instances. Then last year, against the Winnipeg Jets, when a lot of people counted this team out after what was an ugly Game 5 at home against the Jets, they went to Winnipeg and won Game 6 in decisive fashion. So there is history here with this Preds team where when their backs are against the wall, when they are playing a true must-win game, and if you don't win, your season is over. The Preds have played pretty well in those games in the last few years. Now, the last few years may not mean anything tonight. Tonight has no direct correlation with what happened in 2016 when they won Game 6 at home against the Ducks and Game 6 at home against the Sharks to force Game 7 in both instances. But this team, which still has a lot of the same core from these past few years where they have done this, where they've won a Game 6 that is a must win, I think they can harken back on that a little bit. But again, they're going to have to make a lot of improvements within their game if they want to win Game 6 tonight in Dallas. Coming up next, Darren and Donick will continue live from Dallas from American Airlines Center. I'm Ryan Porth in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios here in Smashville. Once again, our coverage tonight begins at 6 o'clock with Preds Extra. Chase McCabe will have all the coverage for you for those 30 minutes from Dallas. And then Darren McFarland has official pregame starting at 6:30. The puck drop shortly after 7:30 with Pete Weber and Hal Gill on the call. All the action heard on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, Darren and Donick continue live from American Airlines Center in Dallas. Stay tuned right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Back here on Darren and Donick, ESPN 102.5 The Game, here live at American Airlines Center in Dallas. Game 6 tonight, Predators and Stars. Stars leading 3-2. Appreciate Ryan Porth back at the Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet Game Studios for holding down the fort the last 30 minutes to kick off the third hour. Adam Vingan is alongside from The Athletic. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe up top along with Adam. Everything is completed down on the ice as the Predators are wrapping up their skate, their duties in the locker room, and, of course, the head coach's press conference. You'll hear all that a little bit later in the show. Adam, what did you make of – let's just start with Saturday's performance, because I think everybody thought, and I know you told me that you went on with Ryan Porth in lieu of Game 5 and said, look, there's an extra day. They've always responded in this spot. The series is tied at 2. Yes, Game 4 was not anything you want to be proud of, but that'll change. They'll get it done in Game 5, and then Game 5 happened.
Yeah. You know, I feel kind of silly now. On Friday on Insiders with Ryan.
Yeah, but why would you feel silly? What you said is true. I mean, it was logical to come to
yes.
some of those thoughts.
Yes. But you have to understand how hard it was for me to say that. The natural,
now, that part, you're right.
The natural,
Mr. Cynic.
Yeah, the natural cynic in me. So, I mean, we sit here today, and it's funny because we were sitting in the same space almost a year ago, not in Dallas, but in just in the general space. You know, the Predators were down 3-2 to the Winnipeg Jets in the second round. They got their butts kicked in Game 5 on home ice to go down 3-2. We all thought to ourselves, man, there's no way this Winnipeg Jets team in front of a frothing crowd at Bell MTS Place is going to lose with an opportunity to close out this series. And the Predators went up there and beat them 4-0. We were all, I certainly was shocked by the outcome. I have to imagine that you were probably shocked by that outcome as well. So, it you know, it sort of speaks to maybe the inconsistency of this Predators group, that every time we think we know something about them, they do the opposite. So
I will say this, because I can speak for myself. I wasn't shocked about last year's team.
Mm.
That was last year's team.
I know.
The President's Trophy winning team, 117 points, a team that virtually faced no adversity, had no real losing streak at all.
Right.
No. In fact, I remember sitting at Bell MTS Place doing the show. From Winnipeg, we were doing the show, and no, I didn't have those. Now, if you're asking me about this spot, I don't feel the same in this spot. Not that it can't happen, but I don't feel the same way with this year's team as I did last year in that spot.
I mean, that's fair. I mean, this team, this particular team, has given all of us, you know, little reason to believe that they're just going to turn it around in a snap. Because when you exclude the first 16 games of the regular season when they finished 13-3, and the last 11 games of the regular season where they went 8-2-1, that leaves about 60-ish games, 55 to 60 games in the middle where they were incredibly inconsistent, and you could not figure out this team from one game to the next. And you know, I think if there's one potentially positive thing about Game 5, there really isn't any positive. But if you're looking for something, you're really digging for it. A lot of the plays that they made, and Peter Laviolette was talking about this just a moment ago, you know, a lot of it was unforced errors. A lot of it wasn't necessarily something the Stars were doing to disrupt them. They were making terrible mistakes on their own, you know, throwing the puck to places where players weren't, or, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, Peter said that those are easily correctable in the grand scheme of things, because it wasn't necessarily something the Stars were doing to them in Game 5 as much as it was them just being, you know, for lack of a better term, stupid with the puck and stupid with their decision-making. So if they clean that up, you know, you hope that they'll put forth at least a competitive effort tonight. Does that mean they win? No. But I'm not expecting them to get blown out of the building as they have in the past two games.
We took a lot of calls in the first hour.
Oh,
of the
I
show,
heard.
And there were,
I heard.
Look, there were no wrong answers. I said you can be call in and want to pump this team up and be positive. You can be mad. You can be disappointed. You can be sad. There's no wrong answer. Just tell us what you're thinking to this point. So we fielded a lot of calls in the first hour. I think the overarching
theme.
Yes, it is. What, you know, we're going to sit here and talk about right now, I think, is what's perplexing to a lot of people for good reason, is why we're talking about a team that is being outplayed right now. And, you know, and a team that, you know, the 19 giveaways on Saturday. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about the power play, which we've talked about all year. That's in a separate category. But I think some of the other stuff, we weren't talking about that coming into the series. We weren't talking about a Dallas Stars team
that was going to score
that could possibly outwork them or outplay them, right?
Yeah.
Or beat them to pucks. Or, like you said, score 10 goals in two. We thought there was a real shot. There could be a 1-0 game in this series, right? Or,
right,
you know, a team gets to two, you could win a game in this series. Certainly not 5 goals in back-to-back games. So I guess it's out of character of what we all thought we could see how this way. Not that nobody could not see them being up 3-2, Dallas, but if you were playing out that scenario, you would think there's a double overtime loss, a crazy 2-1 game, right, where just a funky bounce late in the third period or what have you. But the last three games, I don't think anybody could have seen that coming.
No. You know, certainly the when you look at the Stars' season, you know, it was a lot of it was their success was predicated on, you know, defensive hockey. You know, they were one of the best teams in the league at shutting teams down, but they were one of the worst teams in the league in scoring goals themselves. So, you know, if you thought coming into the series that every game was going to be 1-0, 2-1, maybe 3-2 if you're lucky kind of score, you wouldn't be shocked at all. But, you know, the fact that the Stars have been able to score 10 combined goals in the past two games is, you know, something I certainly didn't expect. And when you look at the Predators, and maybe I'm wrong here, but, you know, I don't claim to be an expert on the X's and O's of hockey. Yeah, if you ask me to break down Peter Laviolette's system, you know, to a T, I probably won't be able to do that necessarily. But from what I've been able to see, either the Predators have failed to make the necessary tactical adjustments in the series, or they have and they have failed to execute them. Either way, it hasn't looked good. They haven't looked like the more cohesive team in this series, which they should be because of the experience that they have. So that to me is sort of the alarm bell going off so far through six games.
How do they change some of the things that we've seen, some of the habits that we've seen throughout the course of this series? How do they change that? Because quite honestly, we know things have to change if they're going to win tonight for Game 6.
Right. I mean, I think first and foremost, I think they just need to be smarter with the puck. I mean, they were incredibly lackadaisical with the puck, and their decision-making was suspect at best in Game 5. And you saw that, you know, the opportunities that the Predators presented the Stars with those giveaways often led to goals. Peter Laviolette said it the other night, and he said it this morning, that it wasn't so much the quantity of the chances that the Stars received, it was the quality of the chances. So you have to make sure that you're not putting yourself in a position, the Predators, if you're the Predators, to give the Stars those layup goals, as they had, particularly that top line of Ben, Sagan, and Radulov. I feel like the Predators haven't been, you know, absolutely dominated at 5-on-5 in this series just based on the numbers. But as I was saying before, it just feels like the Predators either haven't made the necessary adjustments or they're just not going about executing them the right way. So, you know, you're the same, Darren. You know, I came here in 2015 whenever the Predators talk about the path that this team has taken. It always starts with that 2015 playoff series against Chicago, through Anaheim and San Jose, to the Stanley Cup final, to the President's Trophy. I've seen it. We've both seen it all. And there have been times where I thought this team was as good as out of it, and they surprised me. And my gut does not have a positive feeling about tonight's game. Just as I had a positive feeling about the other game, I could be completely wrong, and I've been wrong many times before. So, you know, if the Predators are going to go out tonight, this is going to sound silly, but at least go out with dignity. Don't play a game like you did in Game 5 or Game 4 and get smoked out of the building in your last game of the season. If you're going to go out tonight, if your season ends here tonight, go out with an effort that you can be proud of.
If you're, and it sounds almost tongue-in-cheek you're making a joke, but you're right. I mean, if there's one thing, if you're looking for a real positive, is for most of us all season, especially in the 2019 calendar year, we've been more wrong than right about this team, right? When you have the good feelings, they don't happen. When you have the bad feelings,
they don't happen.
So, you know, it sounds like a crazy positive vibe going into Game 6, but it is true. It's been a really difficult team to figure out. And the minute you start getting down and you're thinking you know how this is going to play out, that's good. If you feel that way right now, then there's a real shot they're going to push this thing to 7.
Right.
And you never know what's going to happen on Wednesday night in Nashville. But first, they have a hill to climb here tonight in Dallas. We'll come back, Adam, on the other side, talk about some of those adjustments. Let's talk about the line rushes that we saw this morning. Will that indeed play out for tonight's game? Will there be a secret change? I don't know. There's always gamesmanship. We'll do that to close out the third hour of Darren and Donick. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll head east. We'll go to Knoxville to kick off the fourth and final hour of Darren and Donick. Darren McFarland, Adam Vinken from The Athletic, live here at American Airlines Center in Dallas. Game six tonight between the Predators and the Stars. I said, Adam, earlier in the show that I would expect desperate times, calls for desperate measures, and I would be surprised if they trotted out the same lineup as we've seen the last couple of games. But if you believe the line rushes this morning at skate, looks like I'm going to be wrong, unless something changes throughout the course of the day and in pregame warmups. But it looks like now they're going to be different combinations, but it's still the, I thought there was going to be, whether it's a Wayne Simmonds or something new was going to come into the lineup as opposed to what we saw for games four and five. But if you believe what both of us saw this morning, that's not going to happen.
It appears that the same 12 forwards will be playing, but the combinations have been altered slightly. Just to go over them, the top line has remained intact, as we expect. The second line has gotten a bit of a makeover. Mikael Granlund, Kyle Turris, and Rocco Grimaldi, which we can talk about shortly. The third line, quote-unquote, of Kelly Yarncroke, Colton Sissons, and Craig Smith. And if you'll recall, in mid-March, when the Predators scratched Kyle Turris for a couple of games in California, the Yarncroke, Smith, Sissons, and Smith line had quite a showing over the course of a stretch of games. So bringing that line back, and then your fourth line appears to be Brian Boyle, Nick Bonino, and Austin Watson. So I guess, what are your thoughts on that comment?
Well, I really thought that there would be a new addition somewhere in the lineup, but that doesn't look like it's the case. By the way, Kyle Turris started on the fourth line and would eventually move up, had the goal in the third period. I thought, you know, kind of that line being Granlund and Turris in the third period, I thought they looked pretty good together, honestly. Well, you know, kind of reunited together, I thought they looked a whole lot better. I thought there were other guys. I thought Kelly Yarncroke at times struggled in that game.
Yes.
I guess I'm surprised that they're back to that combination again on the second line.
Well, for me, and I remember saying this when the trade happened at the deadline for Mikael Granlund, that I felt like the success of Granlund and Turris were going to be intertwined. Like, they needed each other in order to be successful. And, you know, Turris has been up and down. Granlund has been up and down, you know, in terms of play. Turris has been up and down in play and in position in the lineup and out of the lineup. Maybe this is just me, but I don't really like the combination of Granlund and Turris. I just feel like they're too similar as players to be, you know, to play off of each other. You think about the success of the line last year of Kevin Fiala, Kyle Turris, and Craig Smith. Fiala and Smith are shoot-first players, so Turris could be the facilitator to get the puck to Kevin Fiala and Craig Smith. Granlund, in a lot of ways, is similar to Turris in that he's a playmaker. You know, not necessarily someone who's going to be firing the puck with aplomb, much like Craig Smith does. So I've never really liked the combination of the two of them, because I feel like it's very passive. Like, they've had their moments, sure, but I just feel like, you know, you have Rocco Grimaldi on that line now who can be the shooter, but I feel like they need another shooter on that line to complement Kyle Turris.
What do you make of Dallas's first line with 16 points in this series? They had 7 on Saturday combined. Of course, Radulov, Benn, and Sagan, as opposed to the Predators' first line intact, which just has – and they had 2 points on Saturday, have 4 points in the series.
Yeah, they were awesome. They were really good. And what they're doing is what the top line of the Predators should be doing. During the regular season, oftentimes Jim Montgomery would put those three together, you know, sort of as a – you know, as a backup plan or a DEFCON 5 situation where we need offense, we're chasing a game, we need something big, you hit that button and you put them together. It's like Megazord almost. You know, there's your Power Rangers reference after we talked about Stretch Armstrong last week. They were awesome on Saturday. There's no other really word to describe it. You know, they were using their size, they were using their skill and speed to basically eviscerate whatever players that were on the ice for the Predators at that time.
Eviscerate.
Yes. I mean, that's what it was. I mean, it was a dissection. a clinical dissection of the Predators whenever they were on the ice. I mean, you know, the ease in which Jamie Benn shrugged Ryan Ellis off that puck, that was really impressive. And they, in the pass that Sagan made cross ice to get to Radulov, you know, that was one hell of a pass that not very many players can make and not very many players can finish with as much force as Radulov did from that angle. So, you know, they're going to be loaded up again. And the problem now is that the Predators don't have the benefit of the matchup. So if they can't stop that line, it's going to be a long night.
What do you make of two guys that we have rarely ever had to say this about? I mean, they are so steady. They've been rocks for this organization. They're really, really good players. Usually we're used to heaping tons of praise their way. But in this series, there hasn't been a whole lot of praise to heap that way. In fact, it's been a little head-scratching because I don't think either one of them have had their best brand of hockey. Like I said, usually we're having just the opposite discussion. And one of them is Philip Forsberg. The other one, Mattias Ekholm.
Yeah, in regards to Mattias Ekholm, you know, he certainly has had a rough series, and you know, he's been particularly undisciplined. He actually, I believe, was second on the team in minor penalties during the regular season, but I wouldn't say he was necessarily undisciplined in that regard, but you know, he still took a lot of penalties during the regular season, but it's been a special brand of undisciplined in this series. And you know, he and PK Subban as a pair have not performed terribly, just isolated looking at their numbers as a pair. You know, they've been the much better pair versus Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis just by isolating the play of the two of them together on the ice at 5-on-5. For someone who, you know, was garnering a lot of potential Norris Trophy consideration at the midway point of the season during the All-Star break, you know, Ekholm has not, you know, provided that level of play during the postseason. And in regards to Philip Forsberg, you know, he had that great goal here in Game 3, which was set up by a great pass from Nick Bonino. But, you know, that line as a whole has had some opportunities. They haven't been devoid of scoring chances. But, you know, they've had a really hard time getting to the dangerous areas of the ice. The Stars have done an excellent job of locking that down, as they are known to do. And, you know, that line, you know, they did have a goal the other night. It was a nice play. I think it was from Forsberg passing the puck through Klingberg's skates to get to Ryan Johansson.
Yes.
That was a nice play, except it just came at a time where, you know, even was the score was 3-2 at that point, but you still felt like it was more than a one-goal deficit just by the way the teams had been playing. So, you know, this is the game for them, obviously, because there's no turning back if it doesn't go well.
But zero shots and zero attempts in a game, I mean, you just can't have that. Not in a playoff series,
no.
Not from a guy as talented as him.
Absolutely not.
And quite honestly, there's been a couple of protection issues as well. I mean, you know, we've talked about the play lacking in front of Pekka. I mean, there's been a couple of times he wasn't in the correct spots. In fact, I don't remember which goal. I get lost in the shuffle. He peeled away on one of those plays on Saturday.
That was the Sagan goal on the 2-1. It was like the 2-1-1. It looked like a 2-1-1 almost, where the Predators came off for the line change.
And I watched it over and over, and I'm like, he peeled away, and I don't even know what he was peeling away.
I think that was the Stars' fourth goal.
I mean, there was nothing there in that area.
Right.
And so it was a little confusing and perplexing. Like I said, all we do is talk about how amazing he is. I've been surprised that at times in this series he's been invisible, or some of the things that we've already talked about, it's just out of character for him.
Right, and when you look at this series, if you go down the roster, I mean, how many players can you look at from the Predators and say without hesitation they've had a good series? I mean, at this very moment, it might be Rocco Grimaldi.
Right.
That's it. I mean, Pekka has not had a great series statistically, but a lot of that is the result of the team breaking down in front of him. So, you know, maybe you bump him onto that list, but it's, you know, it's a tenuous grasp. But everybody else has struggled, I feel like. You know, other than Rocco, I mean, and Rocco Grimaldi deserves a lot of credit. But when Rocco Grimaldi is your best forward through five games of a playoff series, that's not a good sign.
Last thing, are you surprised at the difference in number of opportunities in the penalties, where Dallas has had 21 power play opportunities through five games in this series to Nashville's 11?
I'm not surprised in the sense that oftentimes you can usually equate power plays to work ethic and effort. that isn't just, like the Stars are doing the right things to put the Predators in position to have to take penalties with the way they're playing in the offensive zone and things of that nature. The Predators haven't had that same luck because I don't think they've had the same luck in the offensive zone. They've had little sustained pressure, which forces opponents to take penalties to stop the bleeding. The Predators have taken some uncharacteristic penalties, some delay of games, some things like the couple of Matthias Ekholm with a couple of unsportsmanlike conducts. I think that just speaks to what the Stars have been able to do offensively, that they're forcing the Predators into those mistakes versus the Predators, who haven't really given the Stars much to worry about in the offensive zone for most of the series, and then not having to take those penalties.
Adam, good to see you. Thanks for doing this. Good stuff.
All right, Darren, we'll see you tonight.
We'll see you tonight.
See what happens.
That's right, Adam Vingan. His work can be found at The Athletic. That will do it for hour number three. We'll come back, head east. We'll go to Knoxville next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.